All right, our woven in theme this morning is stop ignoring what God says, okay? So many times people today ignore the truth and begin to fall away from the truth without somewhat being aware of it. Now, let me give you an example. A while back, I was doing a Bible study and I had a couple come to that Bible study. And they come from a very, very, I don't know how to say it, a very legalistic background, church. And they were having a tough time because they lived through the thou shalts and thou shalt nots. Have any of you been in that kind of atmosphere? You know, I grew up in that kind of atmosphere, and it was very hard. And when they learned about God's wonderful grace in the Bible study, instead of being amazed, and I think they were very amazed, but drawn into God, they began asking the question, do you mean I don't have to, and you fill in the blank, okay? Because of grace, I don't have to. And so eventually they abandoned all the things about God. They abandoned going to church. They abandon going to the Bible study, and they have statements like, we don't go to church because we're under grace. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? We don't read our Bibles because we're under grace. We don't have to do anything spiritual because we're under grace. Yeah. Do you think that's what God meant by grace?
No.
Yeah. And so they put up a wall, and anything that smelled or sounded like we have to, they didn't do anymore. And they became slaves of the world instead of slaves for God. And that's kind of what's happening with this passage this morning. Our theme this morning, again, is stop ignoring what God says, because it's too easy to drift from righteousness to sin, slavery and sin. Is that not true?
Absolutely.
I mean, the best of us feel that slide. And we look at that. And so because it's too easy, we are Malachi chapter 2, and I want to simply read the first part of the passage, and then I will bring you into it to read with me. Because it's addressed to Israel's priests, and how much of it does not pertain to us, and yet there's a thread that runs through this with a practical application that has some pretty big impact for us. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 for context with this reminder. The priests of Malachi day were the spiritual leaders of Israel. They didn't have a king, they only had one governor, and Malachi was a sole prophet, and he was a spokesman for God. And they weren't listening. The priests were the visible spiritual leaders, and they were to lead the people in godliness, and instead they're leading them astray. And I want to add the word again, okay, because this repeats itself in the Bible. And I stop and I can't fathom how God has so much patience, but boy, am I glad he does. So let's begin with the verse 1 of chapter 2 in Malachi. And now, O priests, and it's interesting because in the Hebrew they could be God, they could be said as royal advisors. They're God's royal advisors. See, you have to understand that most people didn't read, and so when the priest spoke, that was the word of God. It says, and now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to glorify, or to give glory to my name or my reputation, meaning following the instructions that I have given you with reverence, says the Lord of hosts, because they're leading Israel away, and they were the only Bible the people had, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Those are harsh words, aren't they? But what choice does God have? when they're not really saying God's word and they're running the people astray. I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, your peace, your wealth. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants. I will command your offspring and spread refuse. Now, sometimes the people say to me, well, the Bible really doesn't fit now because it doesn't, you know, it's really kind of cake and ice cream, but not the real meat. Well, I want you to look at this, okay? Are you looking at 3? Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse. Now, the Hebrew word is awful. I'm not sure. I looked to see if that's where we get our word awful, okay? But the Hebrew word is awful, and it means, and I'm going to try to be nice about this, poop. Dung. Now listen to this. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread poop on your faces. That sounds funny, doesn't it? Okay. And poop on your solemn feasts. And one will take you away with it, meaning another country will take you away. Then you shall know and become aware, is what it really means, that I have sent this commandment to you, that my commandment, my sworn agreement with Levi, may continue, says the Lord of hosts. And the host being the heavenly armies. Same old story through history. And we see happen again after Christ comes and leaves. We see that there's finally an utter destruction because they're so far south. That there's an utter destruction and Israel is cleared mostly of all Jews. Now, our theme tells us to stop ignoring what God says because of the dire consequences. And I could just hear the Levites telling Malachi, oh, Malachi, you're so negative. God isn't really saying that because we are his people. And God will protect us, not destroy us. We need a positive thinker, not a doomsday prophet. And we see that in other parts of the Bible where they do say things like that. And so for Israel's priests were ignoring God's truth, just as that Bible study couple did. And they were not following what God asked them to do, but compromising and thinking they were right until one day they meet the disaster. And that's why we are so adamant in a big way about his word and about his way of communicating with us through his word. And it's our way of living our life, as he asked, it produces life and peace in us. Now listen, as he continues, and I'm going to read the white and you're going to read the yellow. My covenant was with him, Levi, one of life and peace. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. The lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now, you know, we could even look at it from a practical sense of pastors here, but then the problem that we have is Paul tells us we're all ministers, and the truth should be there. Like he said, but you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people because you have not kept my ways and have shown partiality in the law. Okay. So it pertains to the Levites. But can you see the parallel? Can you see the drift of the application towards us? The process of seeing them move away from God draws out some points we need to hear. My covenant was with him. His covenant is with us, one of life and peace, because we obey. And so I have a question that's a little bit hard here, and that is, have we forgotten that obedience creates life and peace? You know, the problem in America is we hate the word obedience. And even me as a preacher, any time you use the word obedience, I feel kind of, ooh, you know, is anybody going to hear that word? Because obedient meant legalism. And we're not talking about legalism. We're talking about listening to God's word and living it, right? That's what we're talking about. So here's a little history. Him is Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Yeah, Isaac was Jacob's dad. And so Jacob's name is changed to Israel, and Levi becomes the promised line of the priesthood. And yet it wasn't by Jacob's, his father, blessing, because I looked at the blessing up and it didn't have anything. In fact, he talks about Simeon and Levi being murderers. So I don't know how they won out of this. But through Aaron and Moses, Aaron as the chief priest, Moses' brother, in the family line, was honored and served God and lived a godly life. And Aaron was true to God his whole life. And you know, things happened to Aaron that were hard. Like his two sons decided they would light holy fire in their temple, and God struck them dead. And Aaron had to live through that God would kill his sons. And it even said that he had a hard time with God in that area, and yet he stayed faithful to God. And I bet you now he is so happy he did that, right? There's always been a remnant of the Levites in Israel, and no matter how it goes, no matter how bad the king is or the bad society or the lack of popularity, there have always been those from Levi's family line, the Levites, that stayed true to God, and especially the chosen priests through the years that operated in the temple. Moses and Aaron were descendants of the family of Levi, and we know that Aaron was that great priest, following the law of Moses, clearly upright, and for many generations after. And God promised them life and peace. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, this doesn't apply to me, but it does. Because we have so much more than the days of Malachi. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 12. Today we have so many more advantages over the Levites and the priests back in his day to find life and peace with Christ. First of all, we are in Christ, the Bible says. We're in Christ. And we're saved through Christ's life and death. And we have the Holy Spirit teaching us. They didn't have the Holy Spirit then teaching them. They had the law. But for us, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit communicates spiritual things to us along with our conscience. And so that we're really kind of without excuse. So I want to read 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Now, I want to straighten out the translation on that, because that's dead wrong, okay, from the original language. What it really says is, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, communicating spiritual things to spiritual people. So what he's saying is the Holy Spirit communicates spiritual things to you and I. But the natural man, the unsaved man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. You know, it has always been the practice of the church to try to get the unsaved to act like the church. Right? We want them to act like us. They can't. That's what the scripture says. But the natural man, the unsaved man, does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual, the saved man, judges or discerns all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no man. We can't have an unsaved person tell us whether how good we are as saved, because they don't get it. They don't get it. And the unsaved man can't understand the spiritual things, the spiritual thinking, no matter how many words you use. Now, I have a great example of this. I got a call from a friend of mine that's a counselor, and a guy that lived just down the street from me, said, "Would you be willing to talk to this guy because his marriage has fallen apart?" And so I said, "Yeah." So I went up and visited the guy, and we talked, and over several weeks we were doing Bible study and talking, and he seemed to kind of go along with it, but he just didn't seem to get it. So one particular evening when we got done, I said, "Hey, listen, will you do me a favor? Will you read in the book of Romans, starting with the 5th chapter and go through the 10th chapter? And let's talk about it when we get back." So he went home to his apartment because he and his wife were separated at the time. And he watched TV, got sick of it, and he started reading the Bible. And so he read from Romans 5 up through Romans 10. And when he got to 10:9, when it said, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved," he stopped and he prayed to God. And he said, "God, you are Lord. And I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and come in and save me." And he did all this by himself. Okay? Just reading the scripture. And so he told me, he said, all of a sudden, in a few minutes later, he got really euphoric, and he thought, "Oh no, he had some heart issues." He thought, "I'm having a heart attack." So he went around his apartment looking for the doctor's phone number, because he thought, "I need to call the doctor because I think I'm having a heart attack." And then the words came through his mind. This is good teaching of the Holy Spirit. The words came through his mind, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." That was the very first sentence he read. And he said, "All of a sudden it occurred to me, for the first time in my life, I experienced peace." Now, who taught him? It wasn't me. And so we get back, and I'm listening to this, and it's all I can do to keep from crying, because I'm thinking, man, I tried to talk to this guy, and it was like a stone wall, and all of a sudden he's open. And so then he says, just to top it off, and you'll love this, he says, "I don't know how to explain to you what happened to me when I prayed," but he said, "it was kind of like I was being born all over again." He says, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" Yes, I totally understand what you're saying. The natural man can't understand, but when we come to Christ, we get it. And the Holy Spirit begins to teach us. So listen to the next verse, which is so... let's see, did I finish reading? Yeah. The next verse. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" This is out of Isaiah, and I want to read that section in Isaiah to you. "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, and as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him the paths of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding?" In other words, who in the heck could teach God? That's what they're saying, what Paul's saying there. But I want you to look at the last half of that verse with me. Listen to these words with your heart this morning, because it's to me it's profound. When I read this and it finally sunk home, I thought, wow, this is incredible. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him, but..." I didn't hear you. But
we have the mind of Christ.
we have the mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ. Hey, listen, turn to whoever you're sitting with and say, you have the mind of Christ. Do it right now. Okay, now point to somebody else and say the same thing. You have the mind of Christ. Is it no wonder that we have such a tender conscience? You know, one of these days I'm going to center a sermon around that because it's just a wonderful passage, but let me just say it again. We have the mind of Steve. Oh, okay, I can't get away with that, huh? Okay. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have Christ's mind. We have Jesus' mind. How he thought, we think. We're supposed to. It's right there. I remember one time I was doing this counseling session and Debbie and I were, and this couple was fighting and they were yelling at each other. Finally, I said, stop, stop, stop. And I said to the guy, what do you really want? And he said, well, I just want to protect myself from her because she just yells over the... I said, no. What do you really want? And he said, well, I just want to be able to defend... I said, no. What do you really want? He said, I just want her to love me, and I want to love her, and I don't want to fight anymore. Now, how do you come up with that? The mind of Christ. I appealed to the mind of Christ in him. Because we know, don't kid yourself, we know what God wants from us. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, my friends? We see these priests leading these people astray, but we know when we're going astray because the Holy Spirit is there training us. So let me repeat the theme this morning. We need to stop ignoring what God is saying to us and get on board. Amen? We need to stop. We have to quit ignoring him and listen to what he's saying because it's life and it's peace, the Bible said. Let's not be like the priests. Let's be like Christ.